This passage starts out with the word finally. So finally, we are at the end of 4 weeks on Ephesians, and finally signals that there's probably some important things and some kind of drawing together that Paul is going to do here. And so before I comment on that part, I'd like to remind us of a little bit of what we have looked at over the last 3 weeks as we have looked at different parts of Ephesians. Paul has been talking about a community of people trying to live together as a community of faith, very much in the same way that we are as a community of people trying our best to live together as a community of faith. Now, they, like us, were a remarkably varied and different collection of people. Different backgrounds, different education, different cultures, different countries of origin, different jobs, professional and non-professional, teachers and lawyers, housewives and carpenters, bankers and firemen, students and seniors, men and women, married and single. They were also from very different church backgrounds. They had very different ideas about what mattered in worship. There were richer and poorer. In their context, it would have been expressed this way: Jew and Gentile, slave and free, Greek and Roman, male and female, rich and poor. But very much like us, it was a hugely varied collection of people. And did they have hugely varied opinions about just about everything? And they were free, as we are, to express those opinions. So I hope you can see us in this collection of people, because this is us. And yet, they had been reminded by Paul in this letter, and we are reminded by Paul, that Jesus had come to break down barriers between these different groups. Jesus was the one who came to shatter the barriers that kept different groups of people apart, to shatter misunderstandings, to shatter hostility that can develop between different groups. They were told to deal with each other in the following ways: in humility, in gentleness, in patience, bearing with one another in love, maintaining unity with every effort, letting no evil be spoken, speaking only that which builds up. Let go of bitterness, rage, wrath, and wrangling. Be kind, be tender, forgive as God has forgiven. And then there's another interesting little phrase, and I can't remember what chapter it's in. It says, therefore. And again, that's another key little word that says, pay attention to what comes after this. Paul says, therefore, be imitators of Christ. So all of the things that he has called them to do and to try and be and live in their community can be summed up in that one phrase: be imitators of Christ. Live in love as we have been loved by Christ. Now, Eugene Peterson believes that the key tension or the key challenge that is given to us in Ephesians is to link together not only what we know about God, but what we do for God. So behavior and knowledge are to go together. They are to go hand in hand with each other. You cannot have one without the other. There is no point knowing without acting on what you know. So I thought of us, and I thought, okay, we cannot just say that our motto is to seek the peace and well-being of the city. We actually have to try and act on that. We have to do things that demonstrate that we seek the peace and well-being of the city. So information about God and action for God must be linked. And then I thought about that, and I thought, okay, I'm sure this is a message for you out there this morning. This is not a message for me, because I would like to be eliminated from having to live this way, because it is impossible. So could you please take that up? And I will just say, I do not wish to be picked for this team today. However, we're all picked. Sorry. But it's important to realize that this is not a burden that we are to stagger under the weight of. This is not a guilt trip that is being laid on each one of us. This is not a lecture this morning to depress each of us. We are not meant to bear or to do this on our own. We have been called into community to try and do this together. We have been told that we are loved and healed and forgiven and called together as a group. This is not a solo activity. Now, you can ask the question, and I think the answers are very obvious. Does our community need things such as gentleness, tenderness, kindness, patience, the letting go of wrangling, the letting go of anger, the letting go of disappointment? Of course we do. We long for that, each one of us. We long that this community would smell of that. Does our world need that? Well, that's pretty obvious. You just have to read the newspaper or watch the news each day, and you know that there is such deep hunger for this in our world. Do we need barriers to be broken down? Of course we do. There is a desperate need for that. Now, when I wrote down and thought, this is not a burden, this is not a guilt trip, this is not a lecture, I thought, then, what is it? And I thought, this is actually a call, believe it or not, to join in a great adventure. This is not a call to live a life that is shallow and dull. This is a call to a life that is full and rich and challenging and full of adventure, together with the Spirit. We have been equipped by God to join him in this. And I believe that he beckons us. He holds his hand out to us, both as individuals and as a community, and says, come and join me in this. This will be full of life for you. You won't find one dull moment in this. And high on my list of things to avoid is dullness and boredom. I don't know about you, but I do not like either of those. And what God calls us to and beckons us towards is not boredom, but challenge and invigorating and delightful when we see it work. Will it be hard? Of course. Will there be failure and disappointment? Of course. We'd be naive to think that there wouldn't be. Will it be rich and rewarding? Of course. Will we be not alone? Of course. Will we be equipped? Of course. Now, there's this interesting picture that comes in this passage of Ephesians, which sounds like warfare. And it talks about being armored. And it goes through all the pieces of armor that a soldier of that day would need, breastplates and proper shoes and a sword and a shield. And I thought, you know, contemporary analogy of that would be, you know, Kevlar helmet, flak vest, camouflage outfit. And it sounds very warlike, and that may actually offend some. Now, the interesting thing is, this equipment is not to attack others, but to protect us. This is equipment for protection, not so that we can attack others. And this is equipment that protects us as we communicate the gospel of peace. This is not about warfare. This is about bringing the gospel of peace into our world. And we are equipped with truth so that we can communicate truth to people. We are equipped to try to the best of our ability to the best of our strength and as God encourages us to lead righteous lives. We are equipped to hold on to faith. We are equipped to pray. We are equipped with the strength of the Spirit. And why are we equipped? Not only to communicate the gospel of peace, but so that we can stand firm. And if you look at that four verses at the beginning, there is the phrase stand or stand firm four times. And I thought, why stand firm? Well, because I believe that this challenge, this adventure, takes more than a one-shot effort. This is about us being here together as a community over the long haul. This is about us having a history as a community of faith that seeks the peace and well-being of the city, that we become known for that over the long haul. Not here today and gone tomorrow. This is about standing firm. And I had an image of what that was. This is from years ago. I had a good friend who worked for Malibu, which is one of the Young Life camps. And Malibu is on the coast in BC, and it's right on the edge of a channel that has horrendous rapids through it when the tide changes. And it has rocks that are dangerous for boats. And you ignore the dangers of that channel at your own peril. And there is a lighthouse right outside that channel that has stood there for years. It is based on solid rock, and it is not that there are not storms that have assailed it over the years. It's not that the tide that goes in and out has not torn by it. It's like rapids in a river when the tide is changing. All of those things have happened around this lighthouse, but it has been able to stand firm because its foundation is on rock. We can stand firm in this challenge because our foundation is on God. An example in one of the commentaries I read talked about a Huguenot pastor in a small village in France the day after France had surrendered to Germany in the Second World War. And this is what the pastor preached on the day after this surrender. He said, "The challenge for us will be to resist the violence that will be brought to bear on our consciences. The challenge for us will be to resist the violence that will be brought to bear on our consciences." And what this small village did throughout the duration of the war was they gave sanctuary to 5,000 Jewish people. Now that was not without risk. But that community was able to stand firm. They had discovered the resources that God gave them that enabled them to stand firm. That community broke a huge barrier between Jew and Gentile, that there was another government that would have loved them to let go of. And they said, "No, we will not let go of this. We will break this barrier." They knew who God was, and they acted for God. We are called to the challenge and the adventure of the same, knowing that God is with us and will give us all we need as his people. We are called to the huge adventure of challenge of being the visible image of the invisible God, both to each other in this community and to that place out there that surrounds us, that desperately needs the peace and well-being that we know brought to them. We are called to imitate Christ. Amen.